Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth, consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
If you're not creating, you're waiting.
Today on episode 456 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with speaker, author, and hypnotic success coach, Jason Lynette. I'm going to ask Jason how business owners can overcome mindset issues that block their progress towards success, and much more. Find out more about Jason, along with all of our previous episodes, at smashingtheplateau.com. Now let's welcome Jason Lynette. Can a hypnotist really help you grow your business? Jason has hypnotized more than 250,000 people. He used the principles of rapport and modeling to track what top business performers and professional athletes do differently to build his own million-dollar brand. As a master of the micro niche, he speaks to groups around the world and offers hypnotic success coaching to share how people in business can put his work smart principles and strategies to use. Rather than just hypnotize you to become more successful, he will help you dehypnotize the misconceptions, fears, doubts, and ineffective strategies that are holding you back. Jason's process isn't magic, but the results can be magical. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, you've been a hypnotist for a long time. What got you into this line of work in the first place?
You know, I think it's one of those categories of work that no one, at least in my profession, sort of grows up as a small kid going, that's what I want to do when I get big. So I was actually on a different career path working in management and professional arts organizations. And it was just the introduction to hypnosis by, of all things, seeing one of those comedy hypnosis shows and recognizing there was a different aspect of the personal change side of it. So it became that passion career of looking at as many books and training opportunities that I could find. So eventually when I hit a gorgeous place of burnout in the arts career, recognizing that, hey, here's this thing that's already been growing. Let me go off and do my own thing now. So it was that initial sort of curiosity, that interest point of going, let's see what happens if I take something that's completely out of the convention of what most people would expect and decide to make a full career out of it and just haven't looked back ever since.
Wow. So that's a pretty big shift.
It is, yes. And a lot of what I do in terms of my motivational strategies comes down to the positioning. I keep crediting the quote from Lorne Michaels, the creator and producer of Saturday Night Live, who would say that whether we're ready or not, the show goes live at 11:30. So I had many years of preparation and training and experience and touring around and doing speaking events. And then the decision was there at the moment of leaving one career and moving to another. I'm going to sign this big, scary, threatening 3-year lease with the positioning that I am going to make this work rather than dip my toes in and see how it goes and, you know, sort of ease into it. No, just it was that all in moment, which I, again, looking at from that perspective, that was probably the best choice I could have made because of that positioning, I made it work.
Yeah, I know from working with so many entrepreneurs that being able to have the courage to set yourself up for an all-in moment can be quite threatening and scary. And I know lots of people that think that they're going all in or say that they're going all in, but they don't really do it.
Well, I think the same principle could also be applied to any aspect of what we do. So whether it's, let's say I'm just simply putting on a webinar to promote an online program, whether it's a campaign to book more speaking engagements, you know, that recognition that we can do something to really put that message out there. What are all the appropriate streams that we can set in motion? And the key thing here behind all of this is, again, there were years of preparation up until that moment. It wasn't this idea that I took an initial training and just decided to open up shop. I waited to that point where I had the funds to support it. I had the positioning to make it work. And I definitely had the skill set to get started. So it's where I'd share that in the last year of the old career, I was actually working in production management for professional theater. And I took the schedule that would have me only working production rather than rehearsal hours. Rehearsal hours for a theater production are typically like a 9-to-5 job. And production is you go in at like 5:30 in the afternoon and you may be leaving around midnight. Most people don't want that part of the job. because you have zero social life. Instead, I use that last year and that 9 to 5 hour to incubate, to be working on websites, to be working on the sort of, the foundation, the sort of aspects of paperwork and billing processes. So as soon as the doors opened up, it was ready to go. So it's where we can do that all in, but do it very intentionally.
Right, right. So you had a really solid plan in place.
Yes.
Right. And did you find that having that solid plan in place made the jump into something new and different less scary?
It did, although along the way, of course, the model has to change based on what you're presented with. So part of my backstory was that I went to this networking meeting rather early on. A lot of my business was built in the early days thanks to network marketing. And of all things, I was kind of shocked that in those environments, there's this constant dialogue of it's going to take time to get referrals. People don't know you yet. You don't have enough testimonials or referral sources. This is going to be slow, but wait it out. And just I refused to buy into that premise. It was instead by asking, what can I do differently that's going to help me to stand out in this community? What information is it that I need to present? I'm very much a content marketing style person of value first being the model. So using stories of clients that I had worked with, doing parts of my presentations that I would do as my 60-second infomercial at these networking events, living by the formula that show is always better than tell. So to give people an experience, to draw them into something new, rather than fall prey to the idea that, again, it's going to be slow your first year, what can I do differently to really stand out and make that impact?
Right. And what were the results?
The results were immediate, that it was about drawing in that audience, presenting that story, and also listening to the feedback. Also being willing to have that feedback back to myself. Back to the early days of network marketing, which, as a side note, I eventually phased that aspect of my business out because the stuff that I had refined saying over and over and over to a group of people in front of me, that's where eventually I turned the video cameras on and I was capturing that content. And now that's what's on my various websites. So that aspect of getting that message out there and again, being critical of yourself in a very appropriate way, that I'd almost put it back to the ways that a stand-up comedian would prepare for a big special. You know, here's where they're hitting the open mics, they're workshopping material, they're recording themselves, they're tracking what's working rather than just blindly patting themselves on the back and saying, wow, I'm good at this. It's that place to recognize that we're all in process and it's always this journey of improving just that little bit more each and every time we put that message out there.
Right, right. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. We definitely have to workshop and rehearse and prepare our material so that it's rock solid. So let's fast forward to today. So what is it that is your core offering that is connected with being a hypnotist?
Yeah, so I live by the model of what I lovingly refer to as a three-ring circus style of living, that I have three different major segments of my business nowadays that are rather equally balanced. So there is the personal services side of things where I'm still in an office at times working with clients one-to-one for issues such as here's the executive getting rid of a fear of public speaking. Here's that person letting go of the habit of quitting smoking. So that's one segment of it. The other aspect of it is that live presentations side of it, which that includes if I'm at a company, an organization giving the keynote, teaching hypnotic strategies from the platform to the audience to actually internalize goals and then demonstrating them as well. The other aspect of that is taking everything that I do and bringing it into an online model. So that's where there's a ton of online education, personal development, online programs. So it's that three-ring aspect way of running things that allows that every week is its own separate experience. So for example, this was a week that I was primarily in the office, and then jump forward about 3 weeks from now, that's when I'll be teaching a class with a couple of dozen students who have come in from all around the country. Fast forward a little bit later, it's a string of different presentations that I'm doing for some companies in the area. So it's that ability to vary the model, still have that foundation of at its core. The whole theme of it is to work smart in our strategies and principles, to think differently about how we approach our own business or even personal success. So to remain that common denominator inside of it, yet to expand that reach through different models, which the beauty of that is it builds this multiple streams of income model where even as I'm there in a week where I'm just seeing the individual clients, here come the product sales, here come the deposits for upcoming presentations, or here I am on travel and I'm speaking at several conventions. And yet again, the recurring model of everything else is still paying off. So I live by the phrase that it's a myth that you have to have multiple streams of income. It's a myth that you have to. You absolutely should, because it's a gorgeous way to run a business.
Right. No, it totally makes sense. And this way, if for some reason one of those three legs seems to get weaker, perhaps because of changes that you don't have control over, you still have the other two legs to rely on.
Right. I'd share a small anecdote that I'm currently in the business, currently in the market of looking for a different office location. What the engineers referred to in my office that I've had for 7 years in Alexandria as a water event, to which I described it as, no, there's water pouring in through the skylight. It's leaking. And a situation just kind of went from bad to worse and just went time to move on. So really, it just became the minor conflict of just having to close off one room of a 1,200 square foot office, which really wasn't enough to make or break the issue. Yet again, here's this place where that could have shut down many businesses. Yes, there were some days I had to segment off for the contractors to come in and do the appropriate repairs. Yet again, here was the model of everything else that was still working. So this is what you're exactly right, builds that foundation, builds that consistency. So this thing that could have been a major conflict just becomes minor annoyance and we're able to move on.
Makes total sense. And now, Jason, how are your three segments built around a single core offering?
The core offering is all under the theme that you have much more control over your actions and your thoughts than you've ever thought possible. So there is that hypnotic component inside of it, even as I'm there often at times working with other business owners in terms of coaching through their services and looking at how do we scale up these opportunities of that simple mindset, what I call the power of premise, that we find ourselves in that position that so often every reason because something isn't yet happening for us, that same belief structure could be flipped on its head. And every reason, every because it's been a conflict could now become every reason this is the best time to do it. So taking whatever that current backstory is and flipping that model. So this is a theme that's going to be there in terms of whether it's the private client. I do education for other hypnotists all around the world. And the anecdote there is that the word hypnosis actually only dates back to about 1870, 1875 or so. It's a rather young profession. It's a state of mind that's been around ever since there were people. Yet it's a community that up until about maybe I'd say 10 years ago was falling prey to the mindset of, well, this is how we've always done it, which you can't say that in something that's really only been refined as it is for 140 years. And I meet a lot of people in business, a lot of people who are kind of stuck in their own personal change struggle that are holding onto that principle of just, well, this is how it is. Well, this is just what my behavior is. This is just how I feel when I'm doing that. The person who would call me up and say, I need to find better strategies to deal with my fear of public speaking, when the better question back is, well, how much better will that be if you just don't have that to have to cope with? Let's just help you to move on and now enjoy that speaking, become excited about it. So the core of that business is that entire mindset, again, of taking back control of these habits, behaviors, and beliefs.
So what you're doing is helping people deal with their mindsets, their habits, their beliefs that drive the emotions, that set them up on a path of particular behavior that may not be helpful?
Right. So it's looking at not just the strategies, not just the behaviors, but again, also that mindset, also that emotional mind-body connection as well, that to take that feeling that the person has experienced as perhaps why they're not picking up the phone and calling back those warm referrals, why it is that they have this perfect opportunity in front of them, and yet, whether it's fear of success or fear of failure, flipping that belief system in such a way that now we get to harness that opportunity and leverage that into much greater results.
If you want to rise above the noise, doing what you love and getting paid what you're worth consistently, check out smashingtheplateau.com/best network and learn how we help entrepreneurs like you. Mention Smashing the Plateau and receive 1 month free membership in Best Network. So, Jason, since you're good at telling stories, what's a good story that would illustrate how someone can overcome some of those mindset issues that prevent them from having the kind of success that they want.
This is where I get into my concept of print money, to look at the opportunities that are out there that people are not yet realizing. That part of the story dates back, I'd say, about maybe 10, 11 years ago now. And at the time, the presentations that I now do for businesses and organizations, and its origin story was actually a motivational program that I did for schools. I was traveling the country all the way from here in my local area in Virginia, all the way out to even Juneau, Alaska. And of all things, the counties that were the closest to me were the hardest to break into. And I was hearing a bit of scarcity thinking from other people who did similar presentations and similar programs that, oh yeah, they just don't do that. They don't want to talk to vendors. And I heard that phrase, they don't want to talk to vendors. And I realized if they don't want to talk to vendors, who do they want to talk to? They want to talk to their peers. So it became a moment of stepping back. And again, rather than asking the question, what can I sell these people? Instead, what can I give these people? And through a little bit of market research, you know, it's the funny thing that when you move your home, suddenly you start to get advertisements for the local grocery store, you get the packet of coupons for local stores, and you never have to ask for these things. On a similar note, if you become a high school principal, here's a magazine that you just automatically start receiving. So I reached out to that magazine and I called them up and simply asked a question with a little bit of influence beneath it, rather than call them up and say, hi, I'm a hypnotist, click. No, rather than, hi, I'm a hypnotist, I have a motivational program I do for schools. Instead, I reached out to say, hey, I've been doing a couple hundred programs a year for various schools around the country, and I want to reach out to you because here are two specific conflicts I keep running into that I think here's a better way to address that. Of these two ideas, one was involving student participation, one was involving dealing with vendor contracts that were outside the standard things that a school would bring in. Out of these two issues, which do you think the principals would find the most value in reading an article about? So there was a bit of subtle influence inside of this, of just thinking outside of the box, rather than asking them, could I write about my program, or just asking them, can I write an article? I presented a menu. Which of these two would be the most helpful for your principals? And they responded to the one about outside vendor contracts. So I crafted that article, sent it over, and it got published. So what happened here was that the positioning now changed. I was no longer the outside vendor just trying to sell them something. It was helping me to reposition myself quite ethically as the peer that I already was. I was already doing several hundred school programs a year at that point in my journey. The extra step beyond this was thinking much bigger, where so many people in business would have even a moment of success, but then they step back. Almost that moment of, hey, the cool article just printed, sit down and watch and wait for the phone to ring. And instead, it became this moment of taking massive action. How do I leverage this opportunity? Where, again, my mindset had to shift that here was valuable information that I knew they were going to benefit from. If they read this, it was going to simplify their life. So that little bit of a emotional mind shift on my part to realize it was my ethical responsibility to share this message. So off to Staples or wherever I was doing my printing at the time, getting about 1,000 full-color copies of that article printed out. A nice, polite cover letter in a non-salesy way just to say, hey, I'm sure you've already seen this article. I wanted to make sure you had an extra copy for your records. Briefly, I do a program that hits these specific goals. I'd love to chat with you more about how we can help out your school. And that was the end of it. There was no big color promo, fancy DVD in the package. My whole premise was let me present value first. The benefit of that became that was all the marketing I ever had to do. I don't do the school programs as much anymore. I'm mostly now subcontracting them to other people inside of my company. Yet the repercussions of this one effort of thinking differently, thinking outside of the box, realizing here's an opportunity to metaphorically print money by leveraging an opportunity in a brand new way, I have not actively marketed that aspect of the business now in at least 7 or 8 years, because it also built these long-term relationships to become the raving fan, to become the business partner that someone else may call the school sometimes and go, hey, I can do the program cheaper. Yet I positioned myself as the expert that I already was, demonstrated that, show rather than tell. And it built these relationships, which the beautiful thing is, there's turnover in schools. Some of these principals eventually moved to other locations, and suddenly now I was working both the old school and the new one. So it's the same aspect of, let's update the story. Here was the testimonial I got from doing a presentation at a security company. And suddenly here was this person that was an authority in his industry, and with permission, of course, asking the question, who else needs to see this? So this is how we scale up that business year after year, rather than be there going the scarcity thinking, oh, someone else is charging less than I am. How am I going to compete? Oh, some other vendor in my area is now doing a Groupon offer and they're selling what I do for $400 for 10 bucks. Instead, it's about thinking bigger and that changing of that position, again, to become that peer rather than the vendor.
Right. No, it makes total sense. It's very smart. So Jason, I wanted to actually go back to something we talked about earlier, which is these three different segments of your business. I'm assuming that you didn't build all three overnight. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what has worked well for you, particularly when it comes to building some kind of consistent, stable revenue, especially recurring revenue.
Beautiful. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. So my personal hero is someone who was on TV many years ago, stills on TV occasionally, and really friendly, smiling man wearing an apron with a chicken stuck through a spit, puts it in this almost shoebox looking container called the Showtime Rotisserie Grill. And he and the audience in unison all shout out, "Set it and forget it." Of course, talking about Ron Popeil. So that whole principle of set it and forget it is one that really stuck with me. The whole mindset of building systems within a business, that I'm only ever moving to the next project once the first thing is in motion. So to walk through part of my story here, the market with schools was the first part that I was really building up. And then once that was established, based on the story that I just told here, that's when I opened up the local business, which is called and still is to this day, Virginia Hypnosis. Once I went through the networking streams that we already talked about and then captured that content as video, took ownership of the major search engine results for my specific area that people would be looking for, that's when I began to train hypnosis. About the same time, recognizing that my school program was also easily morphed over to something that business people could benefit from, whether it's salespeople, whether it's working more cohesively inside of a team. So it's this natural progression of only adding the next step on top of it, to the top of it, to the top of it. So it's where I've only recently started to peel away that bottom portion of the business, which is what I started with. Because once Virginia Hypnosis was then fully automated, minus the time of actually doing the sessions, I love that aspect of the one-to-one, whether it's live in my space or working with people around the world, thanks to video conferencing software, we can be just as effective in that format. Then taking the trainings out there to the world around me. This is where the book I've got is called Work Smart Business, which is actually a play on the actual training business I do for hypnotists called Work Smart Hypnosis, where inside of that, that is a micro niche category unto itself with the Work Smart Hypnosis podcast and several different online educational programs, some of which are, you know, single purchase and you just get the entire training program, or I have two different programs for that community. One is the How to Do Hypnosis. The other is How to Run the Hypnosis Business, which those are monthly recurring membership communities where we keep adding new content to it. So the whole message here is that mindset of building systems. I'm only going to set it and forget it when I can look at the shape of the business as it is right now, and I know exactly what it takes to run that as if it were a machine, which the benefit of that thinking becomes what could have been a horror story, again, was a moment where the hosting company that my websites were originally parked at, about, I think this is 3 or 4 years ago, the hosting company got hacked. So it wasn't just my sites. No, it was the entire company. And all sorts of odd code was showing up on my websites. Google recognized that as being something questionable and did the appropriate thing and took my websites off the search engines, which that could have shut down a business. Yet here I was already booked out with appointments, already having students signing up for classes, already out there giving several speaking engagements and recognizing that, okay, I've got to backtrack slightly and run one of the systems again. What did I do? I went back to those networking meetings and I was out there telling the stories that I was then capturing on video, building those relationships once again. and the business, except for 2 days of realizing, why is the phone not ringing? Oh dear. Recognizing that here's what I have to do to run that machine again. So it's where, even though the school business is not necessarily my focus anymore, if suddenly the wild idea popped in to go, I want to do that again, to recognize again, like a well-oiled machine, here's the thing I can start to put in motion again. And to look at the building blocks of it all, the same principles of value first, the same principles of building these long distance relationships. So by the time someone is in my audience, by the time someone is in a classroom with me, listening to one of my audio programs or working with me one-to-one, that rapport is already established by producing ongoing content to really drive the core of that business.
Right. Very smart. Very smart.
Thank you.
Jason, thank you for sharing that. And I'm wondering, Jason, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
So it's where inspiration can come from rather unique sources. It's where I have to be the one to lead off with the statement that the hypnotist who will help you grow your business rather than hypnotize you to cluck like a chicken, which is a side note, I know tens of thousands of hypnotists around the world, and I still have yet to meet anyone who's ever actually done that. So it seems the misconception of that is a misconception onto its own. So drawing inspiration from unique sources, out of the box style thinking, which as a bit of a lifelong comedy junkie, I'm not someone who does stand-up comedy, yet that's often if I'm not playing the mobile university game, listening to podcast and listening to educational material in my car, listening to comedy. I mean, watching the specials when they air on TV. So I bring that up because there's something that I heard the actor comedian Kevin Pollak say on his podcast, the Kevin Pollak Chat Show. And he refers to this in his book as well. The mindset that if you're not creating, you're waiting. So if you've really not tracked his career over the last, let's call it 10 years, here's someone who did have a rather successful career. He's been in all sorts of critically acclaimed movie. He was in A Few Good Men. He was in Usual Suspects. Yet for the most part was kind of pigeonholed as that character actor, comedian. He does incredible impersonations. And again, that statement that I heard him say one time on his recording, that if you're not creating, you're waiting. To look at what he achieved by harnessing modern media, launching his own podcast, suddenly created this entire renaissance of his career, where eventually now was easily able to move into directing, has since now begun to produce other programs, continues his podcast, and suddenly went from character actor, comedian, impersonator to global brand. So to look at that mindset again, that smashing the plateau moment, I think came back to that phrase, if you're not creating, you're waiting. And I directly credit him for a lot of the things that I've done the last couple of years of thinking much bigger about what we can do. So here comes this idea that, okay, I'm going to publish a book. I'm going to speak to this specific organization, as one of my goals was in 2018. I'm going to do a TED Talk. Rather than hoping and waiting that the phone rings and I get it, instead, what actions can I take to create that opportunity? What relationships can I build? What resources can I provide so that I can help facilitate that next stage of the renaissance of my career too?
Yeah, it's amazing how one person can set an example that we can really model and follow and see that it can work for us too.
And I think that's one of those biggest things that people should realize, that it doesn't necessarily have to be in your specific field. I do a ton of education and just, let's call it out, direct sales marketing through webinars. So the webinar format that I live by is let me solidly teach something for about 45 minutes, which then becomes the pivot of, and to make it even easier, let me tell you about my program or my product. So it's where I'm going value first. And my goal is the people who interacted with that free content could leave better off because of that. And of course, those people who see the ongoing benefit will naturally take the next step. I don't sell tech products. That's not my market. But of all things, the pivot that Steve Jobs would do in his keynote presentations, where he would detail all the nuts and bolts of the product, but then would come that magical moment where he would go, but one more thing. And Apple didn't invent the wireless, internet technology, yet they were one of the key people to present that. Hey, the laptop processor's faster, the screen is brighter, the hard drive's bigger, but one more thing. And he picks it up and that thing is not connected to wires and he's still on the web. hey, here's the new phone. It's got a faster processor. It connects to this different type of network. But one more thing. And suddenly we've got the Jetsons time and run in front of us all over again, because now the FaceTime, the video application, appeared. So to look at, again, how can I model something in such a way that it's not plagiarizing, it's not copying, it's that looking at something and going, how do I make that my own? How do I think bigger and, let's call it out, smash my own plateaus?
Yeah. So speaking of smashing your own plateaus, what's on the horizon for you, Jason?
So my book, Work Smart Business, is coming out rather soon, which I know we're going to be releasing sometime around late January. So if you happen to be listening before January 27th, you can actually head over to worksmartbusiness.com/smashing, which by going there, that's going to give you direct access to one of the opening chapters of the book, as well as think back to the story I told about how I worked to get into that market with the high school principals. There's a specific hypnotic language pattern that naturally translates over to how we write sales copy, how we communicate with possible clients and vendors, which I'll be giving people absolutely free as a thank you for listening. If you're listening after January 27th, we are doing a 3-day free promo on Amazon. But if you're listening afterwards, that same website will point over to the Amazon listing, also give you the option to get the free chapters of the book as well. And again, my one rule is always put this stuff to use. The subtitle of the book is Lessons Learned from Hypnotizing 250,000 People and Building a $1 Million Brand, which, again, even if you're not in this specific line of work, as I'm assuming most of your audience isn't, there's not many of us, it turns out. Look at the stories, look at the strategies, put them to use, go beyond habit, build your own rituals and systems for success. So again, that custom page is worksmartbusiness.com/smashing.
And Jason, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you shared today or get in touch with you, where would they go?
Easiest place to track me down is jasonlinette.com. And I'll spell the last name because people have a habit of trying to add extra letters to it. It's only 6 letters, L-I-N-E-T-T. So that's jasonlinette.com. And as far as I can research, I am the only Jason Linette in the world. So on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as well, I'm just on there as Jason Linette, and love to hear from you.
Great. Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share some great insights. My guest today has been speaker, author, and hypnotic success coach, Jason Linette. Thank you again, Jason, for joining us.
Thank you. This has been great.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how business owners can overcome mindset issues that block their progress towards success and how Jason built multiple sources of recurring revenue in his own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Get in Touch to connect directly with me. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.